Hi, I'm Allie Raisman. I've been living with migraine for a while. As an athlete and gymnast, I was taught to just power through the pain. Now I use Ubrelvy or Ubrogepant to treat my migraine attacks. As soon as I feel a migraine attack, I take Ubrelvy, which provides me with quick relief. Once I get relief, I go on with my day. I'm partnering with Ubrelvy to share my migraine story.
Ubrelvy quickly stops migraine in its tracks within 2 hours without worrying where you are. Most people had quick pain relief within 2 hours. Ubrelvy treats migraine attacks in adults and is not for prevention. It's available by prescription only. Do not take Ubrelvy with strong CYP3A4 inhibitors. Tell your healthcare provider about all the medicines you take. Most common side effects are nausea and tiredness.
My hope is that by sharing my migraine story and the relief I get from Ubrelvy, it can help someone else.
Ask your doctor about Ubrelvy, the anytime, anywhere migraine medicine. Learn more at Ubrelvy.com or call 844-4-U-B-R-E-L-V-Y. Sponsored by AbbVie.
I've confronted hundreds of men over two decades.
I have been in television for 24 years.
I just came to get something to eat.
And I have very seldom been at a loss for words.
I just came to get something to eat.
Men online looking for children to sexually assault.
What's the motive here? Explain it to me.
No, you're right. It's stupid.
It's an illegal thing.
Yeah, I know. I did a stupid thing.
Men from all walks of life. A doctor, a teacher, a clergyman.
You sent pornographic pictures through the mail. Okay, that's a federal offense right there.
You know I'm in trouble, and I know it.
I tried to get into their heads and understand why.
Who do we have tonight?
I want to know who you are.
I want to know a little bit more about you first.
Can I eat first?
Sure, go ahead. Let's see if any of this sounds familiar while you enjoy your pizza.
And ultimately, make sure they face justice.
You ask her if she's a virgin.
I ask everybody all kinds of stuff. It's just talk.
You ask her if she's horny.
What's wrong with that?
You ask if she does anal.
It's a question. Question.
Who are they? Have they tried to prey on other children? And where are they now? These are the predators I've caught. I'm Chris Hansen. Derek Brett Deason may not come to mind as one of the most infamous predators I've caught. But he is one of the most fascinating to me, and among the most disturbing, I think. Now, if Deason doesn't sound familiar to you, maybe he will as the paddle predator. Deason surfaced in one of our investigations in March of 2017. And let me explain how this came about. In 2016, I joined Crime Watch Daily, a syndicated crime show, as host. And it was a great show, a great staff. But prior to joining, I had on my own conducted with the Fairfield Police Department and Tetrad Corps and my team the Fairfield Hansen versus Predator Sting. So all those cases were in the can, so to speak, and were ready to go to be produced into segments for Crime Watch Daily. Obviously, that's a good deal for the show. You have this incredibly compelling material, Jeff Sokol, all the others that have become so familiar, sometimes almost household names in the predator world, at least. And so this material was already there, and some of the cases had been adjudicated. So it was easy for Warner Brothers Telepictures, which ran Crime Watch Daily, to say, wow, amazing material. We didn't have to deal with any of the potential liability of doing the investigation. We got this great stuff. It's branded as a Hansen versus Predator, and it's a big part of the first season I anchored, hosted Crime Watch Daily. And predictably, it did very well. So when that series wrapped up, the Hansen versus Predator on Crime Watch Daily, I went to my bosses and said, look, we can shoot another one. And, you know, this is no criticism of Warner Brothers or Telepictures, but it's a group that's more used to doing chat shows, judge shows, and not really being edgy when it comes to pushing the envelope creatively with television, taking on potential liability, which, as we all know, exists when doing a predator investigation. And so along the way, one of my producers at Crime Watch Daily, Kelly McClear, was able to put together an investigation where we embedded with the Jasper County Sheriff's Department in Georgia. A small department, but nevertheless very, very professional. And the Sheriff's Department was led by Sheriff Donnie Pope, his team first rate. And the deputy who actually did the work online as the decoy was Heather Murray, also spectacular, very talented. And Heather has now moved on to work for another agency in Georgia, but she spent a long time with the Sheriff's Department, and we'll talk about Heather a little bit later in the podcast. I talked to her in preparation for this particular podcast. Now, the reason Derek Brett Deason, who went by Brett, got the name Paddle Predator, the Paddle Predator, was because, if you recall, he brought all these paddles with him, and when we first came across him online, he was on a site that catered to people with this paddling obsession, this desire, this BDSM compulsion, if you will. So we set up in March of 2017 in this long abandoned house in a very rural area of Jasper County. And it was a bit of a challenge. Nobody had been in this house for a while, but it was a good spot for a predator op. It had places for hidden cameras to be mounted. It had a long driveway in the country. And it had a good backstory, at least for this investigation, as being a young girl's grandmother's house. And it made sense in this part of the country. And it was very clear from the get-go that this sheriff's department in Jasper County was very good at these ops. They had a whole team. They had rehearsed it. They even went so far as to have game calls in the woods surrounding the house. So in other words, if a predator got lost or decided to leave the house for some reason or tried to walk away in the woods, they had a mechanism, a sound device that would, for instance, make the sound of a coyote that would scare the predator to stay on the property out of the woods so he could be more easily arrested. What went into this? And it was fascinating for me to be a part of this. And it really was the first step into, I guess you could say, the next phase of the way we do predator investigations. We work more closely with law enforcement than in the beginning, 18 years ago. And that's for a lot of good reasons that I've talked about here. The safety, the fact that perverted justice is no longer in existence, so we rely more heavily on law enforcement decoys as opposed to independent ones, especially going forward with the new predator investigations that we'll have when our new crime streaming network, True Blue, launches this coming November. Back to Brett Deason. So Deason is on a number of these fetish websites, calling himself male disciplinarian. And he's got videos of young women being paddled. He's got pictures of his paddle. And he knows right away, in our case, that he's talking with a 14-year-old girl named Kelly. He says, "Hi, I'm Brett. How are you?" "I'm good. How are you?" "Good." "So I got to tell you," the decoy says, "I saw your ad and thought, ooh, that's kind of cool, but I do want to tell you the truth that I'm young. I mean, I don't think I am." And Brett says, "How young are you?" 14. Smiley face, smiley face, smiley face. "But really, it's not that young, LOL. Where do you live?" Brett wants to know. "Monticello, LOL, in the country." "What state?" "Georgia, LOL." Now, Brett is some 4 hours away in Alabama. That's where he lives as he's having this chat. "Okay, why are you not in school?" he asks. "LOL, I am in school." "Are you going to be paddled for using your phone?" So right away, I mean, we're just not even minutes into this conversation, and he brings up paddling. "Are you going to be paddled for using your phone?" "LOL, I hope not. My grandma just gave it back to me," meaning the phone. "You ever been paddled in school?" he asks. "No, LOL. I did have my dad do it when I was younger before he died." "Do you get spanked at home now?" "I'm sorry about your dad." So he's going to backtrack in his grooming, saying he's sorry about her deceased dad, but he still wants to know about the spanking. "My dad passed in September," he says, to try to relate to her. "Oh, I'm sorry," she says. "Thanks. No, just live with my granny now." "She doesn't spank you?" he asks. "No, she takes my stuff from me now, LOL." "Will they paddle girls at your school?" He's really obsessed here. "They still have the paddle stuff in elementary school, but not in ninth grade." Okay. So what happens if you get in trouble at school? Now, at this point, you might just think that Brett is role-playing or getting off on this whole notion of talking to a 14-year-old girl who may or may not want to be paddled, but he's committed. "Are you out of school now?" "Not till 3:45. "Okay, why so late?" "I don't know, that's just when we get out, LOL." "How young were you when you were last spanked?" She says, "Let's see. Okay, I'm 14 now. My dad died when I was 4. My mom spanked me with a belt the last time was when I was 8, I think. Does your mom live with y'all?" "No, she's in rehab." "I'm sorry. Your school doesn't paddle in high school?" Oh, he's committed here. "It's okay. I'm used to it. I mean, I don't know, LOL, if they do. I have heard about it, LOL. I'm only in ninth grade or so. I don't get into too much trouble yet." "Do you have Facebook?" he asks. "No, I did, but Granny got mad about it and made me delete it." What attracts you to my ad? Now, he's got, you know, a presence on social media about being a guy who's into paddling. "Honestly, I just like the idea of it being taken control of. It sounds to me like you get in trouble a lot. Your granny took your phone. Your granny stopped your Facebook." "LOL, well, I did, but I'm doing better now." "Good," he says. "Are you active in your school? Sports, cheer, band?" "No, LOL." "Do you have school uniforms?" "No." "Do you mind showing me pics of you?" Sends a pic. Now, as part of this investigation, the sheriff's department actually had a young member of its staff, you know, in her 20s, but looked much younger, and she would be available to send pictures on demand for the potential predators. And a picture is sent. Not overly suggestive, just a picture of a girl. "Thank you," he says. "Welcome. You always been attracted to older men?" "Yeah." "Do you know my age?" "Know what?" "I'm 39, he says. "When's your birthday?" "That's hot. I love older guys. September 5th. "What kind of clothes do you wear?" "Actually, t-shirts, jeans, nothing fancy. What about you?" "Do you wear skin-tight, painted-on clothes?" he asks. "No." "Okay, that's good. Is that your choice, to not wear those types of clothes?" "Like, I want to sometimes, but Granny won't let me." "That's good. What do you want to wear?" he asks. Now, clearly in this scenario, the decoy, a sheriff's deputy, is open to the idea of an encounter. But this does not cross the line of entrapment. and male disciplinarian, aka Brett Deason, is more than game to have not just a paddling encounter, but based upon the evidence, and I'll get into some of that later, a sexual encounter with a 14-year-old girl. What do you want to wear, he asks. Like tight shirts and heels. What about from your waist down? You wear skin tight painted on now, or you want to? No, I might want to wear shorter skirts. Do you wear thong panties, he asks. No, I want to, but my granny won't get them for me. What kind of panties do you wear? I don't know, just regular ones. What did the ad say that you replied to? Well, I don't remember exactly, but there was a paddle on there, and it talked about daddy-daughter. Two paddles. Did you look at both paddles? I think just the one with holes. You like it? Yeah. What do you like about it? He asks. I don't know. It reminds me of 50 Shades of Grey, lol, and that's super hot. Okay, he says. What do you like about older men? They just know what they're doing, I guess. They're sexy, lol. Are you a virgin? Yeah, that bad? No, that's awesome, he says. I really don't want to be, lol. You should stay a virgin as long as you can. And then he sends pictures of paddles. Those are my two main paddles. Wow, did you make them? No, bought them. Oh, does it hurt? You would have to find out for yourself. So this conversation goes on, and Brett Deason ultimately makes the commitment to drive 4 hours from Alabama to Jasper County, Georgia. More about this predator I've caught in a moment. I was very fortunate in high school to have a couple of very good Spanish teachers. And I excelled. I actually took honor Spanish. But high school, for me, and for many of you, was a very long time ago. So I need a refresher. Now, thanks to Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language or brush up on one you have some experience with. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go, especially if you travel like I do. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, and it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Can't lose. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/Hansen. That's babbel.com/Hansen for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel. Language for life. And there are phone calls involved here between Deason and the decoy.
Hey.
Hey.
Like, I'm in my room right now. Like, I can't go outside because, like, you know, my granny's, like, in the living room, so I don't want her to, like, hear what I'm talking about.
Okay. Now, when Deason arrives in this particular scenario, the sheriff's department arrests him first before I have the opportunity to do my interview. Now, I get to talk to him, but he's taken down. Again, this is the first time we worked with Jasper County sheriffs, and this is the way they conducted this particular operation. And so we were more of an embed, although we had an act. You can hear that they don't play around when they arrest somebody.
You have the right to remain silent.
Now, the whole setup looks like, you know, somebody's grandmother could actually live there out in the country, There are furnitures there, the wind chimes, everything you would suspect from a grandmother's house out in the country in Georgia, including the problem of online predators, which Sheriff Pope was all too familiar with and wanted to send a message to his community that he wasn't going to put up with it.
Why is this such a priority for your department?
There are a lot of people who just simply do not realize what is on the internet.
If you have a predator issue here in Jasper County, Georgia, what's going on in the rest of the world?
I think it's exponential. The sheer numbers of people who are willing to participate in the activity with children is what is astonishing.
Now, to hear Heather Murray, the deputy who's the decoy, talk to Brett Deason, she really does sound like a kid. And you can tell, even though he mumbles a little bit, that he's excited to make this trip and meet her.
You like those barges?
Yeah, the paddle things?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like those boards that I sent, he says.
Here's a question, and I'm serious. Okay. I think I'm not that hard. I don't let up, but I'll go easy.
Then he says on the phone, there's a question. I don't let up. I paddle hard. Now remember, he clearly thinks he's talking to a 14-year-old girl. There's no doubt about that.
It will bruise. There's not a question. It will.
You will bruise, he says. It's not a question. It's a fact.
The bruises, I mean, how bad is that?
It's just me and my granny, and, like, I don't walk around naked or anything, so, like...
Oh, yeah.
And then he tells the decoy, Heather, the deputy, that it's going to take him about 4 hours to get there. In fact, he gets lost along the way because Granny's house is tucked away.
It would be 4 hours, but I'm a person now, so I would make it 5 hours. Over a year, it's 7 years now.
Like super dark or just like a little dark?
What is with the super?
And if there's any doubt that he's talking to somebody who's 14, Heather has the lingo down, using the word super over and over again, which he questions, but she's in that role.
I wanted something when I get there.
Oh, I don't know. I'll make you a sandwich.
I mentioned that sandwich is great. I got to do a better dish that they sell, you know, that you can buy.
Oh, I like chicken nuggets.
Then there's discussion about the girl making him some sort of a meal when he arrives. He has already said in his profile and during the conversation that he likes fish, but catfish are not clean. He's worried about the catfish, but he's okay with paddling and sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl.
I got the doctor's evidence. That is part of what I did while I was there at Walmart. So I had to put in my case model and all that good stuff.
And then because she asked for Dr. Pepper, he says that he'll go ahead and get that. And there's a Walmart where he's having his oil change on his car so he can make this 250-mile trip.
Jeggings, yes. I will put my jeggings on.
And then there's discussion of what Deason wants the girl to wear on their first date. He wants jeggings. Elastic jeans. Tight fitting, but easy to get off.
Just park where there's railroad ties. And you can just park right there. I'm putting on my jeggings. Hold on.
Railroad ties?
Yeah, that's what my granny calls them, railroad ties.
Where your clothes?
Yeah, just come in the front door. I'm putting on my jeggings. Hold on.
So when Deason arrives, he's taken down by the sheriff's deputies.
Sheriff's office, put your hands up!
And he doesn't really struggle too much, but he is surprised and he isn't really that complicit. He ends up with a scrape here and there as he's brought in, and now he's sitting at the kitchen table, handcuffed, and I'm going to talk to him. And I walk out, and he's confused, obviously. He was looking forward to meeting his 14-year-old girl paddle date. And now I'm there. And at first, he doesn't want to give many details. But when I tell him who I am, and I'm going to play that part of this tape now, it's almost like he's excited. Listen to this.
But before Deason is taken to the county jail, he's taken inside the house, and he's about to take a seat.
I'm Chris Hand.
Whoa, for real?
Yes.
Whoa, for real? Yeah, he's excited. I mean, you should see his facial expression. He turns one way and turns back to me, and the deputies are there, I'm there, and, you know, his excitement goes away in just a few minutes, though. If what you've heard shocks you so far, join us back in a moment.
I have some important questions for you that I'd like you to answer. Why did you come here tonight? You don't know.
I ask him, as you hear, why he came to this location. He says, I don't know, takes a deep breath and rocks back and forth in his chair. He's got a little scuff mark on his face.
Who were you going to meet? It was a 14-year-old girl named Callie, right? What was your plan here tonight?
Doesn't say much, but I help him out with some transcripts.
Well, I have the transcripts. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can help you out. How young are you? 14. Where do you live? What state? Okay. Are you going to be paddled for using your phone? You ever been paddled in school?
He literally leans forward with this disgusting look on his face, disgust at himself is what I took away from it, and puts his head down on the kitchen table where I'm interviewing him. I show him pictures of the paddles, pictures he sent to someone he thought was a 14-year-old girl. I ask him about it. He said, role play.
What's this right here? One of those right there. Paddles. And what do you do with these paddles, Brent?
You what?
Role play. Role play. Yeah. And what does this role play entail, exactly?
My sadomasochism.
He admits he's into sadomasochism. The head goes back down on the table.
I love grabbing, pinching, spanking. I love to give girls what they need. What do girls need, in your opinion, Brent? This is your chance, Brent.
So what?
To help me understand what you're up to. And what do you do for a living, Brent?
I'm a caretaker. Take care of my mother.
Does your mother know you're here to have sex with a 14-year-old girl?
No.
Now, in case you didn't hear that clearly, I asked him what he does for a living, and he says, I'm a caretaker. I take care of my mother. Apparently, he was going to take care of a 14-year-old girl with a paddle on this night.
And here you say, I'm not going to go easy on you because you're a girl. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to bang you so hard.
I'm going to bang you so hard. Now, is he talking about the paddling or paddling and then intercourse, as Bang would suggest? I asked him, what would happen if I wasn't there, if the sheriff's department wasn't there? And in fact, there was a 14-year-old girl.
What do you think would have happened tonight if we weren't here and 14-year-old Callie was here? What would you done?
Just hung out here.
Hung out. So you brought Dr. Pepper. What else did you bring? Did you bring condoms?
Yeah.
You were going to have sex with this girl, weren't you?
Did you bring condoms, I asked. You heard it. Yeah, he says.
How long did you spend in the car driving here, Brett?
Too long.
Too long.
Now, Brett's head is all the way down on the kitchen table at this point. He's talking to me. He's answering the questions. One or two word answer. I ask him how long he spent in the car. He said, too long.
Was it worth it, Brett?
No, it was not.
What do you think should happen to you?
That's not up to me.
It's not up to you.
Was it worth it, Brett? No, it was not. And then a deputy brings in some of the paddles found in the car. Now, clearly that shows intent.
Well, wait a minute. Here's some paddles. What's this right here?
Some hair. Whose hair is that?
And there's something else that to this very day, we can't explain. Although it creeps me out. With the paddles, with the condoms, in his car is a bag of what appears to be human hair and not his. I ask him about it.
This was found in the car, in your car, an evidence bag with hair in it. Explain that.
Yeah, I'm having it back in my car in a long time.
Whose hair is it?
I don't know.
Might be yours. Doesn't look like yours. You look like you have a crew cut.
Well, I just got in.
I haven't vacuumed my car in a long time? Well, why would you vacuum the car? Or how does the hair even end up in a what appears to be an evidence bag, a plastic bag? And then, one by one, I pull out the stick, the paddles.
Explain this right over here. What do we have here? There's a stick, big paddle. Big paddle with holes in it, little paddle.
Brett's not having a good night. And there are leather straps. I ask him to explain. He said, it's a fetish.
What are these for? Explain this, please.
It's fetish.
Fetish. And you were going to practice that fetish on a 14-year-old girl. Why would you bring this stuff if you weren't going to use it?
Deason's taken away for further questioning at the Jasper County Jail, and I get a chance to talk to Heather Murray a little bit. She had gone through his car, taken inventory.
The movie's here. Secretary, a receipt from Walmart. As you take a look in the backseat right here, there's plenty of Gatorades, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, as asked by the decoy. What does this look like to you?
Well, it definitely looks like he was coming down to stay.
Pictures of young women that came out of his wallet. We don't know who they are.
And there were also pictures of young women in his wallet. The condoms, as I mentioned before, and we never really figured out who these other young women were, but obviously, given the circumstances, it's concerning.
And what's in this other suitcase over here? We got belts, stick, several paddles, scrubbing brushes, condoms, some party he was going to have tonight.
Interestingly, I got to spend some time with Heather Murray during this investigation, and she told me something that made me feel really good about the predator investigations over so many years. She said that when she was younger, I mean, it made me feel old, but that's okay. She said when she was younger, she used to watch the initial predator investigations, and she was inspired to go into police work and ultimately to do the kind of decoy work that led to the arrest of Brett Deason and so many others in her career. She spent a long time with the sheriff's department.
What made you get into this?
You, Chris Hansen, you were like so awesome. Really, I always wanted to go into law enforcement, and I actually started watching your shows and what you did. And I thought, how cool would that be?
As flattering as it is, it reminds me that the main reason we do these predator investigations is to create awareness in a dialogue that continues to help people protect children online. And I'm inspired to continue to do this kind of work in part because of that. Because people see these investigations. Because people become activists in their own way. And because people like Brett Deason keep showing up. So what's happened to Brett Deason? Well, first of all, I spoke with Heather Murray just the other day to follow up. She now works for the Public Defender's Office in Georgia. Different sort of job for her. But it's in some ways a logical extension, I think, of what she was doing with the Sheriff's Department. And she's still very close with the Sheriff's Department. She told me something that I did not know before, which was in the course of the follow-up investigation, they did a search warrant on Deason's phone and found 200 to 300 pictures of female bottoms, clothed, but they appeared to be taken at grocery stores, out and about. And the targets, the women's bottoms who were photographed, the women were in some cases adults, but in some cases, the females were as young as 5 years old. So it leads me to wonder, as I'm sure it does Heather Murray and Sheriff Donnie Pope and everybody else there, what would this guy have done had he not been caught in their sting operation? Nothing good. Before he could be put on trial, Deason, according to his lawyer at the time, engaged in intensive therapy to deal with his obsession, his fetish. And so while he was initially charged with 3 counts related to what he did online, molestation of a child, contacting a child online with the intent to have sex, essentially, he faced up to 30 years in prison, but he was able to work out a plea deal with the prosecutor, and he got probation and lifetime registration as a sex offender. He's listed in Alabama, where he lives now. I reached out to Derek Brett Deason, who is now 45. Had a couple of numbers for him. Not sure whether one was good or not, but I've left messages. And once again, Deason would be one of those predators I've caught I'd like to talk to. And if you hear this, Mr. Deason, reach out. As you know, I like to hear from everyone who listens to this podcast. This week's question comes from Lockie, who checks in from the agriculture heartland of Victoria in Australia.
Hi, Chris. It's Lockie here calling you from Victoria in Australia. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and the work you've been doing over these past 2 decades. So off the bat, just a big thank you from me. I actually had 2 questions for you, if you don't mind. The first of which is, a lot of the predators you've caught have ended up being registered sex offenders. And I was wondering if you could provide a bit of insight into what life is like for these people once they end up on that list of registered sex offenders. And do you think it helps the prospects of rehabilitation? The other question I had is, obviously I'm a foreign listener. Have you ever considered perhaps doing an international episode or even a series catching predators abroad? I'd be very interested to hear your thoughts on that. In the meantime though, please keep up the great work, and if you ever do find yourself in Australia, please feel free to hit me up. We can catch an Australian rules football game together, which I guarantee is almost as good as seeing Steelers and the Ravens. Take it easy, Chris. Cheers.
You know, I've never been to Australia, but I'd love to go. I have seen some soccer games in England, Chelsea, for instance. But I would love to get there sometime. And Lockie, thank you for the kind invite and the brilliant question. As you mentioned, the vast majority of the predators I've caught minimally have to register as a sex offender. And what does this do? Well, it puts everyone on alert that this man, this predator, has been convicted or pleaded guilty to this crime. And it allows the community where this person lives to know what he did, what he's capable of potentially doing in the future, and to be aware. And people often ask me, and they ask law enforcement all the time, should we be worried if there's a registered sex offender in our neighborhood? Well, naturally, it causes concern if you have children or for anybody else, depending on what the offense was. But the time to worry is not necessarily when you have a registered sex offender, because it means somebody is watching that person. It means they have to check in. It means law enforcement has them on their radar. When you really have to worry is when you have somebody who is not registered, who's violated their terms of probation or parole. It does come up when these guys try to find a job. And if they are one of the predators I've caught who is able to reform themselves to not engage in this sort of activity, it is difficult, I would imagine, to find a job, to get into a normal rhythm of life. And there are many out there, many of the listeners, many of you, who don't think these guys should get a second chance, who think they should be locked up forever. We talked a few weeks ago in an episode with 2 therapists, a husband and wife team, who think that some of these guys can be rehabilitated. And I tend to think that some can. But the problem is, do you know which ones? And that is why it's so important for a sex offender, especially a predator who's gone after children, to be registered and monitored. None of these are easy questions to answer. And there's no definitive way of keeping our kids safe online. We do our best. But again, it comes down to the conversation, to the dialogue, to the enterprise reporting we do and will continue to do on True Blue, to take you inside the commission of a felony, inside the mind of a predator or criminal. And I stand by my mantra that by doing so, you can prevent other people from becoming victims. Now, as to the second part of your question, Lockie, have we ever considered doing an international version? The answer is yes, but it's tricky. In the UK, it could even be considered illegal, for instance. But I am in the midst of conversations overseas in some areas to do an investigation, a predator investigation. And I'm committed to do that because I think it would be interesting for not only the people in that country, but for the people here in the U.S. And the reality is, with the digital world as it is, both for this podcast or the content I create for YouTube or the streaming services like Discovery Plus and ultimately True Blue, everybody has access. We serve an international audience with content. So I think it's more important than ever before to do that. Anyway, Lockie, thanks, and thanks for the football offer. If I get there, I will look you up. Thank you, sir. You can always find me on the YouTube channel, Have a Seat with Chris Hansen. Podcast here, of course. Remember to subscribe and like, leave a comment if you would. Discovery Plus, other streaming services where my content exists. The new season of The Boys is out. I had a cameo appearance a season or so ago. Check that out. Cameo, if you so desire. Father's Day is coming up. And as always, you can write me at chris@predatorpodcast.com. I'll be watching and listening.